Welcome to another episode of Romance Romp. I'm your host, Keeney Allen. Today, I have author Jamie McGuire with me. Jamie is a number one New York Times and internationally best-selling author. So thank you so much for joining me, Jamie.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Sure, of course. So first, I always like to find out from my guest, like, how did you start reading romance?
How did I start reading it?
Yes.
Well, I spent most of my adult life in college, so I didn't start reading for fun until after that.
Okay.
And about that time was when Twilight was super, everyone was reading Twilight, mm-hmm. and the movies were just coming out. So that was my first romp back into reading for entertainment.
Okay.
So that's how I got back into it, I guess you'd say. I didn't read a lot before that because I was a young mother, and before that I was in high school and reading for school, so I've had a rocky relationship with reading.
No, I understand completely. I read a lot as a young person. I also was a young mother, so I took a long break from reading for pleasure, and when Twilight came out, like, I devoured that, and I kind of remembered how much I loved reading, you know, and like, hey, I can do this. So but specifically, so about romance, what is it that you like about romance?
What's not like to like about romance? I think anything without romance in it is boring.
Uh-huh.
I just think that it adds an element, a deeper level, just something more entertaining, but also something relatable. I mean, everybody wants love. Everybody wants to be loved. They want to feel accepted. And there are so many ways to love someone that it's really kind of hard to get into anything for me personally that has no type of love, whether it be parental or familial,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the romantic sort.
Sure.
So even, you know, in like religious context, there's some kind of love. So I find if people just leave it completely out, they have to work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, romance is just mainly like fiction. You just have so many different kinds, and an author can throw things at you that are both relatable and maybe something that you dreamed about that might never happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's always good to see other perspectives and the other way people perceive love.
Sure. No, I agree. So within romance, are there any subgenres that you really enjoy?
Yes. So I obviously new adult,
uh-huh.
is super fun. And then I also like sci-fi romance.
Okay.
I love my romance to have a lot of action in it. I've never been a big reader of mysteries, but I've taken a shot at post-apocalyptic, because that's probably the biggest challenge I've ever had, was
mm-hmm.
trying to have characters find love in that kind of a setting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's nearly impossible.
So you were talking about the subgenres you enjoy, new adult and sci-fi, and that with Red Hill, you kind uh-huh. of got into those genres a little, or sci-fi a little bit?
Well, yeah, with Red Hill, it's the post-apocalyptic, and I just find it a challenge
mm-hmm.
because it's almost impossible to develop any kind of relationship during an apocalypse. So
mm-hmm.
I just really enjoy the challenge of writing
okay.
that genre.
All right, fantastic. So do you have any tropes that you like to read, like any favorite tropes that you're really drawn to?
I like them all.
Okay.
I just don't like them all in one book.
Sure. No trope salad for you.
Yes, please no.
Yeah. No, I understand. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't like such and such a trope. And then I'll read a book and the blurb like will really get me. And so I'm like, I should probably just read that book, even though I don't normally like that trope, you know.
Exactly. It just depends on how it's handled by the author. I think that with a talented enough author that they can handle a certain trope in a way that makes it interesting and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It just depends.
Oh, absolutely. So are you reading anything now that you're really enjoying that you'd be willing to talk about?
You know, I'm So I just finished a book. I finished an entire novel in 6 weeks. Life happened and I just couldn't get to it and couldn't get to it. And finally was like, deadline is looming. Mm-hmm. So I just closed myself away and from everything for 6 weeks and finished it. And so I haven't, I'm behind a little bit.
That's
so
okay.
Now I'm editing the Providence trilogy because I'm going to relaunch that with some bonus content. And so I'm editing that with new covers. And then I will be writing again against a deadline. So I no time to read right now.
That's okay. You know, you'll catch up. The books will always be there. No doubt about
right?
that.
Right. I'm yeah. really looking forward to reading Caroline Kepnes's new book.
Okay.
It looks really interesting. But I like to read a lot of nonfiction. So I, one of my favorite books this year that I've read is called Get Over Your Damn Self by Romy Neustadt.
Okay.
And then I'm getting ready to read eventually someday. It's called Girl, Wash Your Face. And the name of the author has escaped me, but I like a lot of these like entrepreneurial books and self-development books. And once in a while I'll throw in something about like past lives or something that just really fascinates me.
That's cool. Yeah. I like the books, like nonfiction books. I like to listen to those on audio. I feel like I get a lot of value from listening to them. It's hard sometimes when I'm at work because I'll be like, I'm listening to this and it's really good. And now I have to like take notes, but also work. But I figure it out somehow.
Well, it's funny because I'm a romance author, but I'm so vanilla. Uh-huh. Like it almost has to be like YA, like solid YA.
Okay.
To read. So,
there's nothing wrong with that.
I know. I get teased, you know, by my colleagues, but whatever.
Yeah.
With good reason, probably. It's funny to have a romance author be so as vanilla as I am when it comes to reading over them. So I just, I read a lot of YA romance.
Okay. That's good to know. All right. All right. So we're going to take a quick pause to hear a message from our sponsor. But when we get back, Jamie, I'd like to talk more about your experiences as an author and your books.
Perfect.
Wonder Book and Video connects over 2 million books with readers each year and has been serving book lovers for over 35 years. With locations in Frederick, Hagerstown, and Gaithersburg, Maryland, Wonder Book and Video is the only place you'll ever need to find your next read. And yes, Wonder Book and Video has a huge variety of romance novels from which to choose. Can't find something in the store? Check out wonderbook.com to get 15% off your next romance novel purchase in-store or online with promo code ROMROMP. That's ROMROMP. Wonder Book and Video, a book lover's paradise. Great. So thanks for that. So before the break, we talked about your experiences more as a reader. So can you tell me how you evolved from a reader to an author?
Oh, actually, I think I evolved from an author to a reader.
Okay.
Reading was not a big thing in my house. I didn't get read to at night or anything. So I read sporadically throughout my childhood in high school. And then I didn't really get into it until, like I said, Twilight. Mm-hmm. And that really just sparked my love for reading regularly for mm-hmm. entertainment. But I have always been an author. I've always written. And I spent a lot of my childhood reading my own stuff, mm-hmm. which now occurs to me as kind of strange, but
that's okay.
I've always written. So I kind of moved from reading all of my own stuff to reading other people's stuff, okay. if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So when you first started writing, I mean, like, what kind of stuff were you writing, and how did you decide you wanted to get, like, be a romance type of author?
Well, romance just seemed like the natural step for me because, like I said, things that don't have romance or some form of love in it are just mm-hmm. not interesting to me. So romance was just always in the cards, but I've always written. I started writing in a diary and then I moved on to journals and then I started writing plays mm-hmm. almost where it's just mostly back and forth dialogue. I might set up the scene a little bit, but it'd be back and forth dialogue. And then I wrote blogs as an adult. So I've always written, mm-hmm. But it never occurred to me. I come from a small town in Oklahoma and no one ever told me to dream. I just never had anyone tell me that I could do something amazing or out of the ordinary. So it never even occurred to me to write a novel, to be an author. I never had that encouragement until I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And my best friend said, you know, your blogs are great. Your writing is so magnetic and people just seem really drawn to it. Maybe you should try writing a novel. Have you ever thought about that? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, no, but I guess I could take a stab at it.
Sure.
So I wrote Providence in 11 weeks.
Wow.
And, you know, my friends and family bought it. Uh-huh. And, but my friends asked me for something a little steamier because Providence was more YA. Mm-hmm. My meemaw was going to read it. So I wanted it to be really, you know, vanilla and nothing that would make her sweat.
Sure.
So, then I wrote a book called Beautiful Disaster, and I wrote it just for me, and it sat on my computer for a year, and I read it maybe 6 times and thought, well, people are waiting for the sequel. You know, my friends and family are mm-hmm. waiting for the sequel for Providence. So maybe I just put this out there while they're waiting. Mm-hmm. And it sold, I think it was like 30,000 copies the first 4 weeks.
Wow. Okay.
And then within the year, it was flirting with the top 100 on Amazon all year. And then I broke the top 100 and hit the New York Times.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. I bought the book. I read the book way back in the day. It was probably one of the first like new adult books that I read, like probably that it was actually like classified as new adult, because I think that that's a rather new-ish term.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was trying to think about it when I was putting my notes together for this interview. I was trying to remember, I used to use this thing. It was called like, if you've read this, you might like this, or some sort of website. Like you could put in a book that you liked and it would spit out another, like another list of books that you might also enjoy. And I'm 100% positive that that's how I found Beautiful Disaster. But I can't remember if it was Twilight that I put in that told me that it would do that, or if it was 50 Shades of Grey. It was one of those.
It has to be 50 Shades of Grey.
Okay.
Because I hear that over and over and over. When
okay.
people read 50 Shades of Grey, whether it's the Amazon, mm-hmm. you know, also bots, we call them also bots.
Okay.
So if you like this, then people who like this book also bought this book. It was always listed under that. And it was listed in a lot of bloggers. So even though Beautiful Disaster came out, I think was published before, don't quote me on this, but I think it was published before 50 Shades in so many ways. A lot of people say, well, we owe a lot of our success to E.L. James, and that is so true.
Mm-hmm.
But for me personally and uniquely, I can say I owe a lot of my success to Erica and the 50 Shades of Grey series mm-hmm. because a lot of people found me through that series.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's how I found it, because I had read Twilight way, way before I really started reading romance specifically. And I don't read a ton of new adult anymore, but that's just because I'm old. But
yeah. But, and it seems to be kind of regurgitated mm-hmm. in a lot of them. It's, you have to kind of wade through it to find something new and fresh. And I understand that.
Yeah. But I say that, but it's also like if I read a blurb and the blurb looks great and it really draws me in, it doesn't really matter how old the characters are to me. Yeah, so I just kind of get lost in the story. So that also brings up, when I was looking at your site and information about you, one of the things that I saw is it kind of has you listed as a new adult pioneer.
Yes.
So like, what does that mean? What does it mean to you?
To me, it means new adult obviously is not a new term.
Mm-hmm.
It was actually coined by a publisher, which just
St. Martin's Press,
yes, actually St. Martin's Press coined the term years and years and years ago before I ever came on the scene.
Okay.
So it's not a new term,
mm-hmm.
but they coined it and then it just kind of disappeared. Beautiful Disaster is one of the first wildly successful new adult books
mm-hmm.
on the market. So I would say one of, I wouldn't say the,
mm-hmm.
But yes, I'm very proud to be referred to as one of the new adult pioneers, even though it's, you know, kind of like one of those songs that have been played too often on the radio. It's really good, but you just, sometimes you want it to go away. But, you know, I'm really proud to be a new adult pioneer and one of the, among the authors who had really successful books in the genre.
Well, you should be really proud of that. You know, I mean, you worked really hard for that, so you should be proud. So your new series that's coming out at the end of May, or excuse me, your new book, All the Little Lights, it publishes on May 29th. So it was described to me as a new, deliciously tragic romantic novel that feels very Flowers in the Attic-y. So of course that little blurb right there in itself kind of got me interested in it. I mean, who among us didn't read Flowers in the Attic when we were like inappropriately young for it?
Right. I think we all did.
Yes.
Even me, who wasn't a big reader, I still read that one.
Yeah. So can you give me an overview of this book?
If I could say that any book I've ever written, first of all the Little Lights took me a full year to write. It's taken me longer. That novel took me longer than any other novel I've ever written because it had to be that way in order to pull it off. And once you read it, you'll understand what I mean by that. It's very intricate. It's got a lot of moving parts to it. And if I could call any of, and I might make some Beautiful Disaster fans angry with this, but if there's any book that I would consider my masterpiece, it would be All the Little Lights.
Okay.
Just because, I mean, like the Providence series has a very intricate plot, but this particular novel had to be pulled off in such a way. Like you can say all day, oh, you know, the ending was surprising, but I want people to be completely blown away and never saw it coming. And that's really difficult to do. And I feel like I pulled it off in this novel. So I'm really, really proud of that because it took a lot of work and acrobats to get that done.
That's excellent. I just got a galley like yesterday. It just arrived. So I'm really excited to read it. I, like I said, I don't read a lot of young adult, but it sound, I mean, the words to me that I like to see in books are like tragic. I have weird reading tastes, but you know, if somebody's like, oh, this is so tragic or sad, I'm like, I better read that.
I would describe it as dark.
Okay.
It is, it's got a very dark feel to it. And just like in the very beginning of the book, it talks about how, you know, there's a bug crawling on her face and she swats it away. And it's just got this very, it's set in Oklahoma where the grass is dead and it's very dry and everything looks very bleached out and white. And it's just so much different than any other book I've ever written in a spectacular way. Not to toot my own horn, but I just really, really enjoyed writing something so completely different than what I'm known for, and hearing all the reviews is it's just as entertaining, which is what I wanted, which is what, you know, any author goes for. You don't want to continue writing the same formula over and over and over. So whenever you try to step outside of that and then you get the feedback that I'm getting, it's really exciting.
Yeah, well, you know, the galley came with like a little press sheet and, you know, the Kirkus review said a young adult love story laced with warmth, angst, and hope. So that sounds promising. And then Voya McGuire crafts a compulsively readable love story, combines themes of racism, abusive families, mental illness, to create protagonists who are multidimensional and worth knowing. And, you know, sometimes as a reader, I love reading books about people who are multidimensional and worth knowing and feeling like, oh, I could maybe know these people, as opposed to a lot of, I mean, you know, sometimes it's great to read books that are like tropey fantasticness, over the top, but not always.
I really prefer my characters to be almost extremely flawed, like almost unlikable, because that presents a challenge of making them likable to the reader. So there's a reason why my books are so polarizing, because I don't know anybody that's perfect. I know zero perfect people, me least of all. So, and we all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted. And so I kind of see it as a challenge to make these people, to make my characters really flawed and likable anyway. So this story is no different. While it's dark and these are teenagers who are struggling to be accepted and loved for who they are, most of all, Elliot, who is First Nation, he's First Nation and he's Native American. And you know, I grew up in Oklahoma, so you grow up with a lot of friends who are First Nation, and I have a very dear friend. When I was going over this book with her, and she kind of was almost like a sensitivity reader for me during this, and she told me things that I, you know, we were friends, and I never knew she experienced those things. So it's really eye-opening, and still, I, you know, didn't really. This is one of the longer books I've written. I still didn't have enough room to put all of that that I wanted in there. Like a lot of that had to be cut out for length purposes. So I just really thought it was important to touch on that and show, you know, for a lot of us, high school sucks anyway. But for some of us, it sucks in a way that you just cannot get away from, whether it's you have red hair or your race or where you live or how much money your parents make. It's just something that you have no control over and you're still judged for it. So it especially sucks. And Elliot and Catherine are no different. And what I also like about this book is the setting. It's set in small town Oklahoma. It very much parallels where I grew up. So it was very familiar to me and I could draw from so many of my memories.
That's great.
So it just is very tangible, the whole setting.
That's nice. I also, I was talking to somebody else about this, about romance books or just books in general, but I kind of get, as a reader, I kind of get tired of reading books where they all take place in like New York or Chicago or, you know, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with those places. They're fantastic places, but I don't live in any of those places, you know, like it, I just want to see like real-ish characters. I know it's fiction, but still, it's the type of media that I choose, and I don't always want to see the glitz and glamour or, you know, the advertising executive or whatever. But so that's nice
to know. Well, most of us are small town people or regular people, and it's nice to have a character that you can relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's there are tons of books that I've read, and I will continue to read books where they take place in these big cities and it's glitzy and glamorous. But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes that's not all I want to read.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand that.
So outside of writing and reading when you're able, do you have any other hobbies?
I do. We have horses. And I sell makeup. So I like makeup. And of course, I have three children. So my hobbies are basically whatever they want to do. My kids are kind of a hobby, right?
So, a lifelong hobby.
We live in Steamboat Springs, Colorado. So we hike a lot. We ski. We have snowmobiles. And then we're also from Oklahoma. So we like to get on wave runners and boat and fish and pretty much anything outdoors.
That's great. That's great.
But I'm really good at Facebook.
Okay.
And like YouTube videos and Netflix thing. I'm really good at all of that.
I'm really good at Twittering, so I understand. I get it.
I think maybe that's more, it goes beyond a hobby, maybe more like a sport. Take it pretty seriously.
So do I. Sometimes I'm like, a couple weeks ago, a month ago or so, I couldn't get on Twitter. It was down. And I was like, I don't know how to live my life.
I'm fine. I'm fine.
I was at work, so I should have been working, but that's a different story. But I was like, I might just have to go like hide in the bathroom until I can connect to the server again.
yeah, instead having a crisis about social media.
Right.
I get you.
Right. Like, I'm like asking other people, like, can you get on Twitter? But I'm like, it's okay.
I really need to post the picture of my lunch right now.
Right.
And I
exactly.
Can't.
Right. How am I supposed to know what everybody else is doing if I can't get on? But I'm not saying it's a problem for me or anything like that. It's just I like it. So.
I will totally own it. I have a problem.
So
sure.
do I. So do I. So after All the Little Lights publishes in at the end of May, what else is next for you?
So next, I'm excited about this as well. I have another new adult, more adulty. It's more adulty than new adult, but another kind of same vein as Beautiful Disaster, but older characters. This is a spinoff of the Maddox Brothers series with a character that you have met in the Maddox Brothers series. That was kind of an enigma. We just kind of introduced him briefly, and it's all out of the Colorado Springs Hotel, where you meet a lot of the hot shots in the last two books of the Maddox Brothers series. So this is the Crash and Burn series, and book one releases in August. Mm-hmm. It was a former date of October. So a lot of times book releases change, but they're always later. So I'm really excited about this earlier release date.
Okay. Excellent. So that's in August. Yeah. Okay. And August. Then do you do like any conferences or signings coming up?
I do. I have a lot. I have Rome coming up at the end of June. It's the rare event in Rome.
Okay.
And then I have PennCon in September. And then I have the Renaissance event by the Southern Bells. That is in Providence, Rhode Island. And that is coming up, I believe, in September too, maybe October. I get those mixed up.
That's okay.
But it's coming up in the fall as well, and it's going to be really fun because I wrote, you know, the Providence series. So it's always fun to go back and see the different places that I wrote about that I could only see on Google at the time because I couldn't afford to travel.
Hey, whatever works. Well, that's great.
Whatever works.
Yeah, so readers will have, it sounds like, a few opportunities to see you in person this year. So that's great.
And, yes.
And I'll make sure to link to your site so that listeners can find more about you and your books, and so that they can find them at the e-tailer or retailer of their choice.
E-tailer. I like that.
Yeah. But I really appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today, Jamie.
Well, it was a pleasure as always. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks. You too.